This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto, Aftermarket Weekly. It's week 150. I'm with my friend Tom Ciartino, Total Automotive, here in Tonawanda, New York, probably about 30 miles from where I live, north. And this whole episode is on ADAS calibration. Tom just recently purchased one. I'm here with a curious mind. I want to figure out why he bought it, what's the ROI. We're going to get a chance to go out and see in the place. Actually, downstairs, we're in your training center up here. Isn't this cool? You just built this.
Brand new.
Wow, cool. We're coming to you live from the Dorman OE Fix Studio. And thank you, Dorman.
Dorman Products creates hundreds of new automotive replacement products every month. Part of what makes Dorman so unique is their ideation of new and innovative products. They have dedicated teams all across the U.S., Mexico, and Canada looking for new product ideas. Since every solution starts with a problem, these teams of researchers, field analysts, product specialists, and contributors consistently visit repair shops and make field calls. Now, this is to best understand the problems the industry is facing. In certain cases, Dorman will manufacture aftermarket replacements so you aren't forced to go back to the OE. Other times, experts take it an additional step, further solving what made the original part problematic in the first place. Solving for a problem is what powers the innovation engine at Dorman. Dorman Products has become an incredible engine for innovation. They are constantly bringing new replacement parts to the automotive industry, and they routinely release tens of thousands of parts across all different categories. Now, why do they do all of this? To enable technicians the freedom to fix their customers' cars and trucks. To do this, Dorman has dedicated teams focused on different aspects of the vehicle to ensure that they are meeting the needs of the aftermarket. Although a lot of their parts are reverse engineering of original equipment, they also redesign and redefine solutions such as their loaded knuckles or programmable electronic power steering rack. Dorman has invested in these OE Fix innovations to help you save time, your customer money, and prevent vehicles from coming back to your shop. In certain cases, Dorman will manufacture aftermarket replacements so you aren't forced to go back to the OE. Hey, want to know more about Dorman? Visit DormanProducts.com/tour.
Hey, Dorman, thank you so much. Tom, you spent the money. You bought an ADAS calibration system. Congrats.
Well, we finally took a dive. It was a lot of research, but we finally decided it was the right time to do it.
Let's assume you had the money or you got the terms and all of that worked right. Is the market ripe and ready for this calibration system?
It's not something we wanted to jump in too early. We wanted to wait for the equipment to evolve a little bit, and we saw a bunch of changes in the equipment. And we're seeing more and more demand from other shops and from our own customer base. So,
you know, Tom brings up such a great point. Sometimes there's early adopters. There's this bell curve, right? And if you're here, sometimes you're not as relevant as if you enter when the curve is going up.
It's all about timing, and we felt the time was right.
Cool. Okay, so you bought an Autel, I think?
We bought an Autel 900, which is the ADAS unit, plus it's an alignment machine, so you can use it either way. We're dedicating it to ADAS, but our future plans is to add a second one with an alignment option, and this way we'll have two standardized units.
Excellent. Now, you probably did the math, if I know you, and figured out what your return on investment is. Are you going to be able to do enough jobs to pay for this over time?
Well, we took delivery in January. We did some training in January. February, we took and set up the shop to accommodate it. I went out one time and just hit about 10 or 12 shops. Out of that 10 or 12 shops, I've had three already bring cars in. So in a very limited release so far, we're already seeing it.
They're going to sublet their ADAS to you. Do shops know? For example, say you put struts, it's 80,000 miles. The car is kind of sagged, if you will. The struts aren't doing their thing. You put new struts on all around. Now the ride height is higher. Do you have to calibrate it if it's got that equipment on it?
And that's the thing. We have to educate not only the consumers, but the other shops, because any change in geometry, any change in the vehicle, it's going to probably be out of calibration. You should at least confirm that it's in calibration. It may not always set a trouble code. It may not always tell you on the dashboard that it is.
I find it so fascinating when I talk to people. I've read an awful lot about ADAS calibrations. And if you don't read the OE service information, you're kind of stuck. Is that true?
The biggest stumbling block right now is service information on these, and you have to dig for it. The best place to go toward is definitely the OE. We definitely have a learning curve to find information on these vehicles.
So where do you go? I mean, do you have to have subscription?
Yep. We're using Mitchell as a general source. We're using service information from GM, Ford, Chrysler when we can have that available, and the OEM sites.
So you've got to be a detail-oriented person, and I know you are. Are you going to train the rest of the team here?
So when I first took delivery of the equipment, I was set on training just one or two of my techs. Since we've taken delivery, we've decided to cross-train all of our staff so that they can do it. And the biggest thing we found out is you don't have to be an A-tech to do this. You have to be able to read service information. You have to be able to follow procedures. And your C-tech can do it. Your newest guy can do it.
And how? Why and how? If they're a detailed person, it's step-by-step, right?
It's step-by-step. And literally, if you follow the steps, you can get it done.
So headlight assemblies, some air conditioning work on condensers where you got to remove stuff. All of that takes recalibration.
Yep. There's the Mercedes, the Audis, they're all coming down with active headlights. Your Jeeps have them now. So all of that is calibration. Emergency braking systems, I believe, are mandated as of 23. So they're going to be a standard equipment on a vehicle. So all of this stuff is going to need calibration. So that's why we felt the market was the right time to do this.
So what's interesting is I always prepare for every episode that I do. I went and got all the articles that I've ever saved. I started to read them. And to remind the world, blind spot monitoring, pedestrian detection, adaptive cruise, which is on a lot of vehicles, emergency braking, radar, LIDAR units, forward-facing cameras, all of that is part of the ADAS system. And we have to respect it and pay attention to it.
There's a lot of systems coming down, the LIDAR, especially the Mercedes is moving really forward. Mercedes, Audi, the systems are so advanced, they can see things before we can see things. If they're out of calibration, you know, you may be subject to an accident.
And before we leave and go downstairs, I remember it was a few years ago when ADAS was just kind of hit. I was at an ASA event in Florida, and Standard Motor Products was going to do a calibration. They actually brought a vehicle into a ballroom. And I had so much fun on the teams of setting up the forward cone and doing all the measuring and then hooking up the computer to the car. And I actually said, what happens if we moved that front receptor back about 6 inches? Will it calibrate the vehicle? And it did, by the way.
It'll calibrate, but it might not be right.
Exactly right. And I think that's one of the things that we have to be very careful about is that, Tom, you've got to go out and drive that car.
Well, there's two sides of the calibration. There's a static calibration, which we're doing in the base. And then there's a lot of the cars require a dynamic calibration on the road. So, and we live in Buffalo here. Some days you're not going to be able to do that calibration on the road when it's snowy. So there's both sides of it.
It's amazing of all of the different special conditions they want you to drive in and through just so that it dynamically calibrates. I can't imagine you're in LA and they want you to go a certain speed limit. You're never going to do that, right?
Some of the drive cycles are 30 minutes to 45 minutes.
Yeah. It's amazing. But anyway, we're in it. It takes a shop like Total Automotive to do it. Congrats on this really cool, neat training center that I see that you built in a space above the offices.
It was an empty space that we took advantage of, and training our technicians was going to be part of this. So we built a room to
Let's go. Thank you so much for letting us be here. Tracy's behind the camera. We're going to go downstairs and take a look at your ADAS calibration space. They were down on the main floor where Tom has his ADAS calibration area. You bought the equipment in January?
Yep, we just received delivery of it in January, and in February we took and set up the whole bay and equipment and did some training and just actually started marketing it a couple of weeks ago.
You know, when I had a chance to see some calibration equipment a while back, it's come a long way as this thing is self-leveling, right?
Yeah, since the time I looked at it, there's been 5 evolutions of the equipment, and the floor level is not as critical as it used to because now the equipment can level itself.
It's nice. They got a transponder inside this vehicle, right? It's communicating with this device.
Yep, we're using the scan tool for the calibration process to access the computer system, scan the vehicle, and also communicate with the equipment to move the equipment up, down, and go ahead and do the adjustments.
Look, for anyone who is doing ADAS calibrations, this is not new to you, but for the thousands, for the hundreds of thousands of shop owners out there that just don't, maybe not even consider ADAS calibration, this episode is to kind of give you a behind the scenes thing. And I know, Tom, you had told me that you purchased 95% of all the targets that are necessary. I can't wait to see your target area, but give us a little walkthrough as to what's going on here.
So the scan tool mounts right to the back of the equipment. There's also a screen up mounted high so we can rotate that towards the car if we're working in front of it. It's a touch screen so we don't have to keep coming behind the unit. And we can adjust the unit up, down, and the software takes and walks you through the process step by step. It tells you what targets to set up, what steps to do on the equipment, what adjustments to make on the equipment, and literally walks you through it step by step.
Piece of cake, huh?
Like I said before, you don't have to have your highest level tech take him off of a diagnostic job to do an ADAS calibration. It can be your general service tech will be good enough to do it.
Actually, I think that is a great advantage to this. You got to have some automotive knowledge and respect for this, but they need to be a high conformity, get it done, detail oriented person like we talked about.
Yep, you got to be able to follow the process. Documentation is huge because of the liability involved with if somebody was to get in an accident. You need to document on the work orders, and that's one of the good things with this equipment is we can digitally attach reports to our work orders and have that permanent record along with pictures. We can also take the tablet and take pictures of the vehicle, take pictures of the adjustments as we make them.
So one of the things is, I think it's 35 by 42 feet. And if you look around, get a big picture scope of this, Tracy, you'll see that it's in a tight space. But Tom says that if he needs space, Tracy, flip around and show the center piece here. I think you did say that you could use this to gain more room if you needed it.
Yeah,
right?
It's like 80% of the vehicles we can do in this end bay.
In the end bay.
If we need a larger area with the vehicles off the lifts, there's enough room in the center of the shop that we can position a car in the middle of the shop and handle it there.
And so in the region, another ADAS calibration center, as you say, what, 10 or 15 miles away?
Yeah, there's another calibration center that actually bought the equipment at the exact same time as me, did the training the same time as me. They're about 15 minutes, 20 minutes away from here. Other than that, in this area, there's us and the dealers.
Us and the dealers. So you are knocking on doors and probably attempting to explain to many of the mechanical shops where ADAS calibration needs to come in.
And that's the biggest part. It's not going out and selling ADAS, it's educating about ADAS. And that's what we're starting to do is educate the other shops in the area. And they're finding out that some of the repairs they've been doing probably required ADAS calibrations and they've never done them.
Let's go look at your targets. So what did you do? Just go out and buy these cabinets?
I did. We waited till the target showed up because I had no idea what we were getting. And once we had them here, we took a couple of days and laid them out and found out a logical order of how they would fit into something.
Show us how you did that. I love every target has a label on the outside. And then when you open up the drawer.
And these targets were labeled on the end. We decided to label them on top so you could see them.
Brilliant.
They all fit in here. Originally, I was going to stand these up in some sort of stand out in the open, but they would have gotten dirty. They would have not been protected. So this way, they're protected. If you open up the drawers, all the rolled targets are all numbered, labeled where they're supposed to be.
Back in the right drawer, this stand-up cabinet that's in there.
And then we were able to put all of the targets and equipment on the shelves, all our laser levels. There's a 5 laser in there, more equipment in the bottom. So it's all clean, neat, put away, labeled. This way, it's easy to access and people can find it.
So you were talking about that this does alignments too. So if you had another alignment machine, you just set this in front?
Yeah, actually, so we've had some 22s and 23s come in that my equipment is not up to date on. We rolled this unit over to our alignment rack and used this unit. It's that easy. Just roll it over, set it in front, and hook up the alignment machine,
Do alignments, and your targets are up on the wall for the wheel. The wheel targets are, I see. It looks like you got something here you didn't even open yet, huh?
Yeah, this is a target that's probably not a very common one, so why take it out of the box?
Take it out of the box. Here's your wheel.
wheel clamps are up there on the wall. And then the larger stand-up targets I utilize, we used to do glass work, and I had an old windshield stand that used to be mounted in one of our vehicles. I took that out and utilized it for the stand-up targets.
Oh,
but
nice.
We left them in the cardboard so they're protected and clean.
Nice.
So you started. You go door-to-door knocking. Did you create a flyer? I know your independent group in town, they all know that you're an ADAS.
Yep.
I would imagine you'd start getting business rolling in.
I hit 10 or 12 shops on the very first day I went out. And within a couple of days of being out on the road, three shops sent cars. And one thing we found out is they were coming in for ADAS, but there was other diagnostic work that went along with it. Airbag problems that they weren't able to solve. So we got some spin-off business out of it, not only ADAS, but we're also getting diagnostic work off it.
Lighting is crucial. That's one of the things we talked about in the training. So one of our capital improvement projects is to change the entire shop to LED lighting, and we're going to paint the ceiling. I already started when I did the training room upstairs. I had some extra paint. I painted one end of the shop just to see how it would turn out.
Yeah.
And we're going to paint the rest of the ceiling and change all the lighting.
Helping the reflection of this, because in certain instances you need to be bright.
Yeah. One of the windows, the window above the toolbox is probably going to get blocked off because sometimes shadows will bother it.
So I remember you telling me you went to Philadelphia, you attended one of Eric Ziegler's ADAS classes. Give me your big takeaway from that.
He gave a stat that just blew my mind. If you were driving 25 miles an hour and your ADAS system was off, your emergency braking system was off by 1 degree, you would hit that vehicle at 19 miles an hour. That just blew my mind.
Well, we just did an episode with Eric and a bunch of trainers. We had a great, great time at Vision, by the way, and just be watching for, we just recorded so many episodes there, but Eric was on one of them. I love Eric. He's a great guy, good trainer, smart guy, but I think you guys went to Super Saturday. Is that what
you did? Yeah, Super Saturday in Philadelphia.
So training. I mean, you're going to constantly be going to ADAS training. It's available. I mean, are you going to pick up new tips?
One of the reasons why we put the training room in is I hope to host some of the ADAS training here.
Wow, you got the equipment here. You got the room up there. Well, it's a big step. Congratulations. Nice move. Thanks for inviting us to come out and hang out here and see some behind the scenes. And maybe we've motivated some of you to even consider coming on board and become an ADAS calibration center in your place. Aftermarket Weekly, Carm Capriotto, Tom Ciortino, Total Automotive. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.